Yeah, so I kind of feel like a secret agent guy with this thing on. I feel kind of cool. I should be like hiding or something up here. But I'm really excited, guys. It's a lot of fun to be up here. I'm just really glad that I get to talk to you guys, teach you a little bit about God and what he's done in my life and just some different things that I've seen. It's called Monkey See, Monkey Do. So, you know, take what you will from that. But actually, I was going to start out and telling you guys about the first time I got grounded. I was four years old. And I know that seems really young, but, you know, like, what can a four-year-old do, you know? Like, I was like a foot tall. What can I do? I mean, other than, like, get crayons and mark up the wall, but, I mean, even then, I was only a foot tall, so you can't really, there's not much to clean there. But I got grounded, you know? So I was going to tell you a little bit about that. Actually, when I was younger, there was this cartoon and movie that was on TV, and it was really big. It was pretty much the Bomb Diggity. It was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Cowabunga! Yeah, man. Yeah, they were like sweet, man. But for those of you that don't really know who the Ninja Turtles were, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they were teenage mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Anyways, well, the way it started were there were these four turtles that, like, this little kid had in a glass jar, and he was taking them home, and he, like, dropped them. Like, bad guy. Like, that's not nice. He dropped them into the grate in New York City, and they fell into the sewer, right? And, like, believe it or not, there happened to be some mutating ooze down there. Like, go figure. Turtles, kid drops it into a sewer. There's ooze there. So they mutate into these, like, life-size turtles, right? But that's not all. That's not all. They were trained by Master Splinter, who was a rat. He was a rat, and he lived in the sewer. But he wasn't just any rat. He was actually from Japan, and he knew karate because his master had taught him karate, you know, his owner. So he was some guy's pet rat, and he knew karate. So, I mean, naturally, obviously, he taught his pet rat how to do karate. I mean, who doesn't do that? If you had a pet rat, wouldn't you teach it karate? Like, have your little rat, like, out there kicking butt with you, you know? Well, that's what they did. They went out, and Master Splinter trained the four Ninja Turtles how to do karate, and then they went and fought crime in New York City, which is pretty sweet. And I was 4 years old, and I loved it. But they didn't fight just any old crime. They fought the Shredder, okay? Yeah. The Shredder was this big, massive dude that could do karate, and he had armor, but not just any armor. This armor had, like, spikes on it, hence the name Shredder, you know, because he could shred people up with it. And he was just this bad dude. He was, like, nasty, evil guy, right? And the Ninja Turtles fought them, and I loved the Ninja Turtles. So, like, every morning, I would, like, wake up, and I would take off my Ninja Turtle pajamas, and then I would go brush my little baby teeth with my Ninja Turtle toothbrush. And then I would go and eat breakfast and drink milk out of my Ninja Turtle sippy cup. And then I would go and grab my red lunch box with the Ninja Turtles on it. And instead of putting my lunch in it, I would put my Ninja Turtle action figures inside of it. And I would take it to the babysitters. Her name was Luana. Love her to death. Weird name, but, you know, she's really cool. And she would put on Ninja Turtle movies for me. So I loved it. It was great, you know? Ninja Turtles all the time. And then that's not where it ended. I would come home, and I'd get home just in time to watch the Ninja Turtles on TV. And it was awesome. And then my dad would come home, and he loves me. And he was a cool dad, and he wanted to play with me, wanted to hang out with me. So we would play Ninja Turtles together. And he would always be the Shredder. And I would, yeah, I know. Good dad. Love him. He would always be the Shredder, and I would always take turns with myself being one of the four different Ninja Turtles, Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, or Raphael. My favorite was Leonardo. He had swords. Oh, gosh, yes. Anyways, you know, I would take turns with myself being a Ninja Turtle. My dad would always be the Shredder. You know, we'd, like, little kick at him, little baby kicks at him, but it wouldn't hurt him because, you know, he was my dad, and I was just 4 years old, so it didn't really hurt him very much. But the problem came in. Like, this is why I got grounded. One day I didn't stop playing Ninja Turtles. Like, came home, and my dad and I played just like normal. And then afterwards, we'd always eat dinner, right? So I would go, and I'd sit at the table, and this time I hadn't stopped playing. So I sat down at the table, and my dad sat down and stuff, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. They made me sit at the table with the shredder. That's messed up, man. Like, I'm a Ninja Turtle. Like, you don't make me sit with the shredder and eat. It's like I was sitting there, and I was like throwing a little four-year-old tantrum, and I like grabbed some mashed potatoes off of my plate. I was like, I'll show that shredder. Right at my dad. And he didn't really like that very much. So, of course, I had to go to bed a little bit early. And, they thought that would end the problem. I got a little spanking and got to go to bed, cried and all that good stuff, you know. So they thought it was over, you know. But it wasn't, because the next day my dad came home and I wouldn't even go near him. I wouldn't go near him, wouldn't give him a hug, wouldn't give him a little daddy kiss, you know, whatever. I would not have anything to do with him. He was the shredder. No way am I going to go near the shredder. So, you know, that kind of made him sad, you know, obviously. And, you know, again, the dinner thing. And so my parents decided to solve this problem somehow. And it was the summertime. They had some vacation time left. And so we went to go visit Grandma. And Grandma lives in Mississippi, which is a long ways from Roswell, New Mexico, where I'm from. So show up at Grandma's house. We stay for 2 weeks. We packed all of my Ninja Turtle stuff. My grandma makes me cookies. So, like, I thought I was in heaven, right? I was like, I got all my Ninja Turtle stuff. I've got cookies. 2 weeks. This is sweet, you know? Like, it was just awesome. But this is where the grounding comes in. Because, you know, you can't, like, ground a four-year-old. They don't understand what that means. But when we left 2 weeks later, my parents forgot to pack my Ninja Turtle stuff. All of it. They forgot to pack my Ninja Turtle action figures, my Ninja Turtle movies, my Ninja Turtle clothes, my Ninja Turtle snacks, my Ninja Turtle sleeping bag, my Ninja Turtle pillow, my Ninja Turtle lunchbox, my Ninja Turtle board games, my Ninja Turtle sippy cup, my Ninja Turtle toothbrush, like everything. So I get home, can't brush my teeth, don't have any clothes to wear anymore, but you know what? I didn't have any Ninja Turtle stuff. The point of that story, though, was to tell you that I was obsessed, man. Like, there was something in my life, Ninja Turtles, that meant way more to me than anything else. Like, I loved the Ninja Turtles. In fact, I loved the Ninja Turtles so much, I loved them more than my dad at that point. Like, that's a serious thing. That's a big deal. Like, that's your dad, you know? Like, he loved me. And I loved the Ninja Turtles more than my dad. In fact, I thought he was the shredder. So I was obsessed. There's something in my life that got in between me and something greater, okay? So to bring this around, I'm going to tell you guys about idolatry, okay? But at first when I started thinking about this, I was like, what is an idol, you know? What is an idol? So I did a little bit of research and I looked on dictionary.com, and dictionary.com defines idolatry as an image or other material object representing a deity or god to which religious worship is addressed, any person or thing regarded with blind admiration, adoration, or devotion, a figment of the mind, fantasy. That's what dictionary.com says, okay? It's saying that it's something in your mind. It doesn't really exist. There might be like some sort of physical thing that you look to worship, but it's a figment of your imagination. It's not real, okay? But what does the Bible have to say about this? What does God say about idols and idolatry? What can we as followers of Christ do to turn away from idols, to see what our idols are? And if you don't know Christ, if you don't know God and you don't follow him, why should you turn away from him? Or why should you turn away from idols, that is? Why should you get rid of these things, okay? So right before we read the verses, we're going to go and pray. Lord, I thank you so much for just this opportunity to get up here and teach your word. And God, I pray that you show up and that you open hearts, you open minds, and that that you speak through me, God. Don't let them see me up here. Let them see, let them hear your message, God. And May we learn to get rid of our idols in our lives, and may we turn to you, God. That's in your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be reading Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8. So you guys go and turn there. And I'm going to make 2 points. The first one is monkey see. That's going to be verses 1 through 4. And we're going to look at what our idols are. We're going to see what's in your life. Okay? What do you see? Okay? And then the second point is going to be monkey do. And that's what are you guys going to do about it once you see what your idol is, or if you have an idol, what are you going to do about it? So Psalm 115, starting in verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, and feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, and so do all who trust in them. So, I actually heard that in Africa, you can catch monkeys. There's these guys that catch monkeys. They use a glass jar and peanuts. I know, that doesn't really sound like much of a trap, but it is. Okay, these guys, they get a glass jar with like a little tiny hole opening in it, just wide enough for a monkey to stick his hand in there. Okay, and then they put peanuts inside. And peanuts to monkeys are like pizza to Ninja Turtles. Or bananas, you know, normally. But bananas kind of make a mess, really. So they don't really use the banana so much. And they don't really fit in the jar either. So they use peanuts. So basically, monkeys love the peanuts. So these monkey catchers will put the peanuts inside of the jar. These monkeys will walk up, you know, not suspecting. They're like, hey, look, there's some peanuts in that jar. I think I want to eat that. And they'll stick their hand inside. And it fits. When it goes in, they grab the peanuts and they make a fist. Then when they go to pull out their hand, their hand is bigger than it was when it went in because it's a fist now. And they can't get their hand out. Well, you know, most people would be like, well, just let go and then like tip the jar over and get the peanuts out that way. But no, not these monkeys. They love these peanuts so much they won't let go of them. Right? So here's the trick. They won't let go at all. Their hand doesn't fit out. So they're sitting there and they're stuck wondering how to eat these peanuts, but their hand is stuck inside the jar and they can't get out. Monkey catcher walks up and's like, hey, look. Caught a monkey, and he grabs the jar, and he grabs the monkey, and he walks away. What? Really? So, like, they love these peanuts so much, they're not willing to let go. Even if it means this big, stinky guy walks up and picks you up and carries you off to who knows where. Probably, like, make you into a monkey skin coat or something. I don't know, that's, like, they won't even bother, you know? Get sold to a zoo, I don't know. But anyways, it's kind of lame. They won't let go. Okay? So we're going to look at this. Verse 2. And whenever we read this, whenever you see the word nations, kind of think of this monkey, okay? Whenever you see nations, you can also put in the word idolaters, idolatry, whatever. Idol worshipers, people that don't know God, okay? So, verse 2. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Well, like the monkey, these nations have seen something that they like. They see their idol. And they can't see our God, you know. They have this idol, this thing that makes them feel special, this thing that makes them feel good, something that they like. It satisfies them, right? But they can't see our God, so they're kind of calling us out. They're calling the people that believe in God, they're calling them out. And they're saying, where's your God? I don't see him, you know. That's essentially what verse 2 says. They're kind of taunting us. They're like, where is he? Give us proof, whatever. We can't see him. But it's okay, because in verse 3, we answer. Verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He does all that pleases him. So our answer is this. Well, yeah, you might not be able to see him, but that's because he lives in heaven. He's, like, so big, he has to have his own realm to live in. Like, he lives in heaven. Our God is big. Oh, yeah, and he's kind of powerful, too. So he does whatever he wants. He's God. Like, he does whatever he sees fit. But apparently this isn't good enough for the nations. This isn't good enough for the monkeys. They want something they can see. They want something that they can hold on to. And that's something they found. They found silver and gold, you know. Silver and gold's kind of pretty, you know. It's pretty expensive, too. People like gold. People like silver. So do these nations. So the nations have found their peanut, okay? Only thing is they don't realize they just stuck their hand into a jar. They just don't see the trap coming, okay? There's actually a story in the Bible that's a lot like this that talks about idolatry. You guys don't have to turn there, but if you want, it's in Exodus 32. I'm not going to be reading it word for word yet, but I'm going to kind of tell you about it. So God's people in Exodus 32, they're hanging out by Mount Sinai. They're all camped out there. And Moses, the guy that parted the Red Sea, he's out there and he's talking to God on top of the mountain. Okay, and he's been there for like a long time. I think it's like 40 days or something like that. He's been there for 40 days and these people are just like, okay, Moses, where you at? Can't see you anymore. Haven't heard from you. I'm kind of scared. Where are you, Moses? They can't see him. So these guys actually call up Aaron. Aaron is Moses' brother, and Aaron's in charge of all of Israel at that point. You know, he's in charge of the people, and he's supposed to keep them in line. But they call him over, and they actually say this to him. This is verse 1. It says, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has come of him." So they're just like, I haven't seen him for forever. I don't know where he's at. So why don't you make us a god that we can see, something we can worship here? And then Aaron, the dork, he's just like, okay, sure. He's like, just bring me all of your jewelry. Bring me all your gold and stuff. So Aaron, who should be leading these guys in the right way, is just like, okay, fine, I guess so. I don't know if Moses is coming back or not. So they get all the gold, they give it to him. He melts it down, and he makes an idol. He makes a cow, like a golden idol in the shape of a cow. Like it's a cow! Moo! Like, we make hamburgers out of these guys. Like, why didn't he make a cow? I don't know. But he makes a cow, and then they start worshiping it, and then they do all kinds of stuff that isn't good in front of this cow, saying it's worship, okay? Eventually, Moses comes down, and he has the Ten Commandments in hand, these big stone tablets and stuff, and he sees what they're doing, and he gets mad, and he throws these tablets down, they break and everything, and then he gets their golden calf, and he melts it back down, and then he grinds it up into a powder, and he throws it on the water, and he makes them drink it, which doesn't sound very good, and I don't know where he got that idea, but either way, he kind of basically comes back in and kicks Israelite back into shape, okay? But the problem with this was, I think, looking at this, is that they couldn't see Moses anymore, and Moses was the guy that was leading them. They couldn't see God. They didn't know what was going on. They couldn't do the cool things Moses has been doing. You know, they lost faith. They lost sight. They couldn't see God anymore, so they turned to the first thing they could see, and that was this idol. I think that's kind of the problem nowadays, too, is we forget God is in heaven, and he is there, and he is in control. And some of us forget that, you know, he's there, and so we're like, we can't see him. I can't see God. And so it kind of scares us, or people that just don't even believe in him, they're like, where is he? I can't see him. And so they turn to other idols. But how do we do this nowadays? Like, I don't see very many people, like, bowing down to these little golden cows or little tiki men anymore, you know. I haven't seen that happening. I think the idols that we have nowadays are different. I think that here in America, at least, we have a different kind of idol. They're people. They're places. They're TV shows. They're book series. Sports. Schoolwork. Wanting to impress your parents more than wanting to serve God can become an idol. Things like this, friends, popularity, these are huge things that get in the way. Okay, and these, I think, are closer to what our idols here are now today. Did you guys know that American Idol, has anyone seen that? Anyone? Yeah? American Idol, its most recent finale had 29 million viewers. That's a lot of people, okay? But that's what's even crazier is that's actually down from like previous years. Previous years, the average is 33 million viewers. That's ridiculous. That's a lot of people tuning into this one show and giving it their full attention. People wait all week just for this one show, just so they can call in and vote. Huge deal. That's a lot of people, too. And another recent thing that's occurred, and sorry, girls, it's Twilight. Twilight has, like, dominated. Like, it's huge now, okay? Breaking Dawn, that's the most recent book that came out in the series. On the first night, at the midnight release showing alone, 250,000 copies were sold. That's the first night, the midnight release show of this thing. 250,000 copies. But it gets even crazier because when the DVD came out, 3 million copies were sold on the first day. Okay? I work at Lone Tree, and a few summers ago, I was actually sitting, I was walking by, and I was going out to work on the Alpine Tower or something like that, and there was this group of kids that were sitting on the porch, and they were reading a book, and so I was like, hey, guys, aren't you going to, activities are starting now, you know? And they were like, no, we're going to read Twilight. I was like, are you kidding me? You're at summer camp, man. Like, we have a 40-foot tall swing. It's called the Screamer. It's awesome. You should try it. Yeah. And they were like, no, we're going to read Twilight. We're going to sit here on the porch and read Twilight. That's what we're going to do. I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, you're letting all these other cool things, the very thing you came here for, pass you by. Like, what's up with that? People, they let this thing become so big, and I hate to break it to you, but Twilight's just a book. Edward Cullen isn't real. Neither are vampires. I'm sorry, they aren't real, okay? And when people spend their entire lives devoted to this stupid book, it's a problem. That's an idol. I work at Desert Ridge Middle School.
Yeah! Woo!
Yeah, go.
Woo!
Isaiah. Okay, and I was there, and I actually talked to this one girl that told me that she would just, like, totally die if she couldn't talk to her friends in class. You go to school to learn, not to talk to your friends in class, right? She actually said that. I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, there's the guys. They spend all day trying to attract girls, and girls do the same thing. They're trying to attract guys and make it their whole entire day's mission. Rather than to learn, it's their mission to talk to another guy or mission to talk to another girl, and willing to give up certain things just to do that. Guys, those are idols. You got to be really, really careful about where you put all your attention to, who has all of your attention, who has your devotion. You got to be very careful. Don't get caught with your hand in the jar. Don't even mess with it, guys. It's not worth it. But I know that me telling you that idolatry is bad isn't enough, okay? So we're going to go back and we're going to look at this. We're going to look at verses 5 through 7, okay? And we're going to see what idols really are. Verse 5 starts out and it says, they have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. The nations, the idolaters, these monkeys, they were calling out, asking where our God was. They were calling us out, right? They're like, where's your God? We can't see him. But in reality, they were worshiping little tiki men. Like, they're worshiping little golden statue things, right? Like, I promise you, you can talk all day long to that golden cow, but he's not going to say anything to you. Like, he's just going to sit there and look at you. So then the next idea that might occur is, like, maybe I'll have a staring contest with this thing, right? You can have a staring contest with this statue all day long, and it's going to win every time because it's not alive and it doesn't blink, I promise. It's not going to blink, okay? You can pray to it, but its ears aren't real. It can't hear you. It's not going to answer. We already established that it can't talk. It can't hear you. It can't answer you. why would you do this? And it can't fill either. So, I mean, you could go up and, like, kick the thing in the knee or whatever, and it's not going to hurt. Actually, it's probably going to hurt you because you're going to stub your toe because it's a statue. And it's certainly not going to cry out in pain, you know. You know, you step on its little hoof, you know, whatever. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to sit there and stare like it always does. It's a statue, okay? It's not real. It's not alive, okay? So these are the things that the nation saw, and they thought that it was good. When in reality, what we see as believers was a statue. It was just a statue. Which moves me on to my next point. It's monkey do. It's going to be verses 8 is what we're going to kind of focus on here. So verse 8 says, those who make them become like them, and so do all who trust in them. These idols, your friends, your popularity, Edward Cullen, Twilight, whatever. If that's who you're focused on, well, you're going to become just like that. And so I started thinking, I was like, what if I had turned into my idol? Like, what if I turned into a Ninja Turtle? I was like, at first I was like, man, that'd be cool. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, first off, I'd be green. Then I'd grow a shell. And then I'd suddenly know karate. And I'd probably hang out inside of a sewer just because I was green and I had a shell. And that's just weird. So I'd probably hang out in the sewer so no one could see me. And my only friend outside of the sewer would probably be this news reporter called April O'Neill. Sorry, Isaiah. I mean, you're nice enough, but you probably wouldn't think I was cool. You think I was weird. But my only friend outside of the sewers would probably be this news reporter called April O'Neill. I would hang out with rats, and I would eat a lot of pizza, which kind of scares me because there's a picture I have. I don't know if it's ready. There's a picture. That's me. That's me wearing a Ninja Turtle suit. I'm pretty green right there. I know I have a shell. And guys, I love pizza, and I have a pet rat. So it kind of freaks me out a little bit. But I don't think that's what they meant. I don't think they really literally meant that you're going to turn into a golden calf. I don't think they literally meant you're going to turn into your friends. That's kind of, can't be more than one person. That's just weird. That's at Lone Tree. Yes, it is. Yeah. But I don't think that's what they meant. I don't think they literally meant you're going to turn into your idol. I think what they meant was something a little different. Let's kind of look a little closer at this. Verse 5, essentially, it says that idols are mute and blind. And that kind of stinks. I like to see, and I talk a lot, so being mute would be kind of weird. Verse 6 says that they're deaf and they can't smell either. So far, they're mute, they're blind, they're deaf, and they can't smell. So that really stinks. And then verse 7, it says they can't feel or walk. So if you add all these together, you have mute, blind, deaf, not able to smell, numb, and crippled idols. Which means that those who follow them will be mute, blind, deaf, not able to smell, numb, and crippled. Can you imagine that? Like, seriously, just be like there. Just like sitting there, doing nothing. I think essentially it's trying to say that you'll be dead. You can't do anything. You're not alive. These idols weren't alive. And if you follow the idols, that's what's going to happen to you. If you follow your idol, you're going to follow it to the grave. Because this idol has nothing, no power. It can't do anything. Edward Cullen is a character on a book. Your friends are just your friends. It's not the end of the world. Your schoolwork, yeah, you need to do good in it, but don't make that your main focus, because it's just schoolwork. So I started thinking about that, and I was like, you know what? We do have a God, and he does have a mouth. And guess what? In the beginning, he said, let there be light, and there was. He does have eyes, and in 1 Samuel 16:7, he says, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Our God does have ears, and he can hear our prayers. And he does have a nose, and in the old days of the temple, we would make burnt offerings to him. And it says that the smell pleased him. He liked it. It was good. He can smell. He has a nose. Our God does have hands and feet. And 2,000 years ago, our God came to earth and he walked among us and he healed people with his hands and he loved us. And then those same hands and feet were nailed to a cross. Guys, like, we put nails through his hands and his feet. We crucified this guy. He was our God. But he did this because he loved us. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Our God did utter something from his throat. He did say something when he was hanging on that cross. And this is what he said in Luke 23:34. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Guys, our God did come here, and he did die for us. But that's not where he stopped. He keeps going. He rose 3 days later. He came back to life. And our God was here. He is here now, and he will always be here. Our God is the one who was, who is, and is to come. And I just want to encourage you guys, if you're going to make anything your idol, make it God. Because he's alive. He's not dead. He's alive today, and if you follow him, we found out in Psalms 115:8 that you become like your idol. If God is your idol, guys, you will be with him. You will be alive if you follow God, Jesus Christ, follow him. So I want to encourage you guys, let go. Let go of the idols. Let go of the popularity. It doesn't matter. Let go of this book. Let go of the TV shows. Let go whatever it is that's in your life that means more to you than God. Let it go. Just let go of the stupid peanuts, okay? Let go of the peanuts. Pull your hand out of that jar. Because, guys, there is someone who's coming for you. And if he catches you with your hand in the jar, you're done for. There is hope. Just let go and follow Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for coming and showing up and being here. I just hope that we make this our prayer that, Lord, not to us, but to your name, give the glory. For the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness, God, you are so good. You came here and you died for us and then you rose again. And if we make you our sight, if we follow you, then we will be with you, God. And we thank you for giving us this opportunity. I pray that we can let go of our idols and follow you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.